of water. And I have a small glass of water. I don't know what that means, but yeah. Last night our speaker had two bottles. My name is Tracy and I am an addict. Ah. Oh, I want to thank God. Man, I want to thank God. I was asked to do this in November. And I freaked from November to today, and I'm glad it's here. Oh my God, I'm freaking. And I'm calling Ann, the person who guides me through this way of life that I've chosen, which I call a sponsor. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm back on February 3rd. That's what you only got today. Yeah, pretty much. So, I really want to thank my higher power for working through the committee and Quinn for asking me to do this. I sat there and I said, why is he asking me? And then I realized it was God working through him. And that's what I believe today. So I'm gonna try to tell you my story briefly and we're gonna wrap it up and read the big book. No. Okay. God offered myself to thee to do with me my remember them by myself so I could better do thy will. Okay. Well, I was born and I can't remember a lot of my childhood. What I do remember is that I was raised into a Baptist family. I've always had religion in my life. I got about I don't know when I had a first drink because alcohol was just part of that life. My mom was a daughter of a preacher. My grandfather was a minister and my uncle was a minister and her friends were either Muslim and my friends were Catholic and I turned to Sanctified and Church of God in Christ and then I went to Lutheran and then I was Methodist and then I said, oh my God, am I phony? Who am I? Well, I always believed in a higher power. I always knew he was there. And even out there is what you all call foxhole prayers. I called it prayers because I knew he was going to save me. I just didn't know when. But I always believed I was going to be saved. So that's a lot of my childhood I can remember is the religions. I remember it somewhere. I was a tomboy. And I was two cousins, everybody on my family members, my cousins was boys and I was the only girl. And I was the only child till I was like 6 or 7 years old. So even growing up, I'm 6 years older than my sister and I'm 14 years older than my brother. So growing up, I was pretty much the caretaker because my mother liked to drink a lot. And I was with this mother and father and we had this house. And then I can remember that it was just the mother. You know, and I was, so it was a single parent family, I guess that's what they call it. And I was pretty much the type of person that knew it all. I knew everything. And if I didn't, I had to get with people who knew, so I knew a little about everything. You know, they called it a jack of all trades, a master of none. And that's who I was for a long time. So as I went through these many religions, I can remember my first cigarette was around when I was 14 years old. I can remember that, and from that time on, I started smoking marijuana, and we had these Louis Vuitton purses, and I had a 40-ounce purse. That's what we used to call it, a 40-ounce purse. I don't know if anybody knows what that's all about, but I'm not getting any drug law, but that's what I have. And that went on every day of my high school years. And I was blessed to have this intelligence where I always got out of trouble because I got good grades. I don't know how, but I believe it was a power greater than me called God. My talent was learning. And also having a very good voice to carry. A very strong voice. I was loud. And that voice got me a lot of, it can cause intimidation, and it gave me Napoleon syndrome because I was not very tall, and had a very big problem with that too, because you know I was supposed to be tall and all my children are just skyscrapers. It's ridiculous. So I can remember doing that, and I can remember doing illegal gotten things that by the time I got in high school, and my glorification, my promotion was that I was a drug dealer, and I promoted that, and it was glorified, and that was who I was, and I had a lot of money. And then I can remember I got married at 18, and my ex-husband said I couldn't work, and I couldn't go to school because I got pregnant, and we had children, and he would work, and I would stay home and take care of the children until they were five. So, I don't know how fast this is going, but I'm really trying to speed it up. So, anyway, I was a stay-home mom. I was a blessed lady. I was a well-kept lady. And my daughter, and when I turned 18, before I got married, I got 18, and a paraplegic introduced me to freebasing. Yeah, that was my 18th birthday present, and I really liked it a lot. So, I started with cocaine. Moving forward, that's when I got married. Not too long after that, to my childhood sweetheart I had been with since I was 12. We got married at 18, and all of a sudden, I got pregnant with my first kid, and I can just remember that kid was about 4 months old before I tried that cocaine thing again, and I was gone for 30 days. Sold everything in the house and took everything, and matter of fact, guys, I'm going to go back, and I'm telling in a general way what it was like at this moment. Then I'll tell you what happened in the end and what I'm like now. Yeah, okay. So I remember from there on, I can remember when I tried it again. I can remember my ex-husband. I had came home for some reason, and my ex-husband was gone to work, and I can remember like my five-month-old baby coming out of her playpen, and her diaper was soaked, and somehow she got out of that playpen. The diaper was dripping off her, and I can remember that, and I was still getting high. Finally, I got up and changed the diaper. Can't remember much after that until I remember I was pregnant with my second child. I did get sober. My ex-husband would always send me back to my hometown, which I'm from, Riverdale, Illinois, and he would send me back there for 30 days, rebuild everything, that I took everything from the house, and we would start over again. And I had my second child, and I found out I was kind of pregnant when I was using, and then all I know, she was born, and I stayed sober for a while. I was a dry drunk again, and I stayed sober until maybe she was 3 months. And when she was 3 months, I can remember I went out there again. I was gone like a month. And I came home somehow one day, and my ex-husband was taking my two children to my mother in Riverdale. And he had one child strapped on the front of him, and he had this little toddler rock walking, going through the airport, taking them home because I had sold everything again, wiped out the house again. And he took them, and I was going to a place called Charter Treatment. And I stayed there one day, and he said, no, you can't stay here. I'll take care of you. And I went back home. And we tried again, and I finally went back maybe 30 days later, got my children from Illinois, and we started over again. I still didn't know at this time that I had a real problem. And so then I stayed sober again, and it was a while when I got pregnant with my third child. And I stayed clean, and so I stayed sober until he was 2 years old. And when he was 2 years old, we moved back to Illinois. As a matter of fact, my ex-husband was in the Marine Corps, and we lived in California throughout all this period of time. And we came back. I mean, we stayed there, and I stayed sober for a while. And as soon as the day we moved back to Illinois, my ex-husband got out of the Marine Corps with $25,000, and we bought all these CDs, and we're kind of financially getting right, and we get this nice apartment, and I run into an old friend from Illinois, and everybody at this time now is smoking what they call Ready Rock. Because, see, I started when it was freebasing. I came back, it was Ready Rock when I went back out there, and I was gone again, and I sold everything. I cashed in CDs. I did everything, wiped everything out again. And this man was a really wonderful man, because then he gave me another chance, because each time I did this, I was never gonna do it again. I promise, this is it. I learned my lesson, and I did it again. We lost everything, I sold everything again, and you know, and it's amazing, because I would go out there for 30 days at a time, then I would get sober for a period of time, I'd go out there 30 days again, and I would get sober for a period, and it went on and on, a vicious cycle. Finally, this time I really wasn't going to do it again, and I got introduced to another program called Narcotics Anonymous, and this was about 1993 at this point now, and I stayed there a while. I stayed there a while, and my children used to go to meetings with me all the time, and my ex-husband, being the supportive person he was there, and we was getting all these material gains again, and we started over and got this nice townhouse. I got brand new cars, and Lord and behold, I do it again. But this is after, at this point, we finally got divorced and we were about to be remarried. And we had all our people get their outfits and everything, and finally, I found out that he was seeing somebody else. I mean, this man had been through H-E double hockey sticks with me. And he stood there a long time. I didn't get divorced until I was 30 years old. 18 to 30, and then finally, when he was seeing someone else, I didn't have a job still, because I had to take care of the kids and stay at home, and depending on him, I took what I had, and I moved to Milwaukee. Me and my son, I left him with the two girls until I could get on my feet. Mind you, I had never had a job. I was a parent volunteering in school, so, you know, I came up here, though, with me and my son, and 2 weeks later, I got a job. As soon as I came up here, a week later, I was a cook for a retirement home, and finally, I went back 2 weeks later and got my kids, and I was like Tina Turner, and I said to this man, because me and my oldest daughter found an apartment, and I didn't have all the money for it, but I had a job, and I had about $400, and it was like $1,000 to move in, and I was like Tina Turner. I said, please, if you give me a chance, I promise I'll pay you, and he gave us the apartment. So all these things that I'm saying is really all the things that I seen, that I knew it was a God. I knew that God was there. Each time it was a blessing. It was a miracle that how things worked out for me. Each and every single time, without a doubt, I know it was only God, because it couldn't have been me. It just couldn't have. So we get this apartment, and now I'm on my way, and I get this job up here, and I'm making about $50,000 to $65,000 a year. And me and my children are doing well, and we're traveling, and we're going, and my ex-husband is still there in the picture. I finally tell him where I'm at, and you know, he's being there and being supportive. I really don't need your money, but, you know, when he can, you know, everything's okay, and he's still taking care of us, just this wonderful, just a wonderful man. And then my kids get in high school, and they had this sober mom for a long time, and I use a Actually, at this point, I relapsed. Everything up until that point was using for me. I relapsed. And when I relapsed, I tell my children, because I learned honesty in the program that I was in for a long time. And I still lied, but I wanted them to know I was getting high. So I was being honest about getting high, but I lied and told them that I was dying and my heart slows down and I have to use cocaine to live. And when I come back, it's crack. And I said, he's sending it to me through the mail, and I had boxes, and I would create stuff. Oh, it was just ridiculous. And I did that to my children and everybody else. And then, you know, and my kids with my daughter, and she sits here today, and she was like, you need to go back to meetings all the time, she would say. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, I'm going to get there, you know, and I didn't. And finally in 2005, I relapsed in 2004. This time it wasn't a 30-day thing. I was out there for like a year. I mean, out there where I sold everything in the house because I had money, but I ran up $365,000 worth of credit because I had credit, had brand new cars, and lost my house. But that, you know, I was so grateful to God it blessed me with, and I lost everything. I had property, you know. I was real estate owners in Illinois. I owned real estate. And of course, I did this all by myself. And it was God, you know, but I lost everything. So, and it happened after I got shot at on the bus. I drove for the city bus and I got shot at. And when I got shot at, I developed something they call post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. And I wouldn't go out of my house for a period of time. I wouldn't do anything, and eventually I used. That's when I relapsed. From that point forward, I kept using. I had lost everything. I tried to come to CA. Finally, I was introduced to CA. Came to CA, I stuck around here for a little while, and then I used again. I stuck around here, and I met Ann in 2005, January 18th, 2005. And I really reminded her, but and Ann was willing to work with me. I think we had got up to the fourth step, and I left, and I went again. And during this time that I was around here, CA, I had a walker and my back. I had said, "Edit this," and oh my God! And I was getting these pain pills, and these pain pills I would not take because I knew, because of this other fellowship, that I had to be entirely abstinent if I wanted to stay sober. So I wouldn't take them, but I would sell them. If the drug don't kill you, the lifestyle will. So, and that's what happened. So now I'm a drug dealer again in CA. But I'm not telling y'all this. But these are the things I did, and I used again. You know, and it might have been right after that time I went with the bus company and we had this big Christmas party and I had a drink, you know, and then I had another one a couple of weeks later. And so all this combination, I'm selling pills, I'm drinking. go figure. I use again. And I use for a long time. I don't remember when I left CA. I do remember that I was a Serenity Keeper chairperson in 2007. And I don't remember when I left. But I do remember when I woke up and it was November 1st, 2010. So it was a long time, you know. In 2010, I went to this place called Impact and they said I said I needed help, you know. And they said, I gave them the history and I told them everything. So, we can't put you in inpatient, but we can give you outpatient. And we'll give you 28 days, because I don't have any insurance anymore. I don't have any of them things. And they give me 28 days of outpatient. And I finally felt like I made that outpatient every day, and I finally was able to make appointments again. I was able to do things again. I was like, wow, this is amazing. I remember this. But I didn't know how to get back there. I didn't know how to get back. But when I got that outpatient, I went there. Then my 28 days was up and they was about to kick me out. And I'm like, no, you can't. I can't go back. And so they told me maybe when I had like 2 weeks out that I couldn't get no more funding and it wasn't going to happen. So you really need to start making meetings. So I started going to a place called the Pass It On Club every morning at 7:30 because I wasn't coming back to CA. You know, I wasn't going to see you guys. I wasn't ready for all that. And I go into this meeting, and it's a flyer to call RPMs. You know, it's a convention out at Country Springs, and I see a number. It's the same number. I remembered that number, and the number came back to me, 315. I could see it in my hand. I'm not going to give out her number up here, but. And so I do something stupid, like, and I say, call his number, because somehow, guys, I kept a cell phone throughout, losing everything. I don't know how. Probably called drug dealers. I don't know what it was about, but I did that. And I called, and I said, and I left her a message. She didn't answer. Yeah, well, I want to know if you're going to be at the convention. Now, she's the treasurer on this form, but I had to say something, you know, I had to get her attention. And so, yeah, and I can remember I called her, and she called me back. And she said, yeah, it'd be nice if you came out to that convention. And so I did. And then I met her, and we set up a time, and we met at the Coca-Thon and for the New Year's, and I hadn't seen her in so long. I was so happy. And then January 4th, well, let me back up a little bit. After losing all them things and doing all the things I did, none of that, I did not stop. None of that stopped me. I lost everything. That didn't stop me. My son, grandson was molested fondled on November 22nd of 2010. I had like 21 days sober. And I was living with my mom at this time, so now, even though I scammed many times of saying I was homeless to try to get programs and stuff, this time I actually became homeless. And I didn't have anywhere to go, and I went to the Cathedral Center. So while I'm going to this treatment thing, and I only have a week left to go in that, I'm at the Cathedral Center, and this is my home now. And I'm calling Ann every day that I'd stayed in here. Every day I'm there. I'm calling her, and finally, I get to the point that I'm still. Oh yeah, this is another part, because I used again too since November 1st, and it was January 14th. Because see, not only didn't I learn my lesson from selling drugs or drinking and using again, I thought it was okay to hang around people who used too, and I did that from November 1st until January 14th. And January 14th, I used again. So my sobriety date is today is January 15th, 2011. That is my sobriety date today. So, because, you know, it probably wouldn't have made sense if I said I came back in November 2010, but my sobriety date is January, 15th. Like, what happened there? On January 14th, I used again, and I was living in a shelter. I didn't know how I was going to get back, and I just knew this time, because many a times, guys, I thought about killing myself, but I was too scared to do it. I don't know about y'all, but I was a chicken. I just couldn't do it. You know, I did feeble attempts so I could get attention, that frothy emotional appeal they talk about in doctor's opinion. I did all that, but I never could kill myself. But this time, I was going to kill myself if I couldn't get back in the shelter, if I couldn't get back right, if I couldn't do it, I was going to die. This is it. I was over, because, I mean, come on, it's been since 1993. Oh, my God, and I'm still can't get this thing. What's wrong with me? But I didn't, because I stand here before you today, and I did not kill myself. And I got active. Then I got busy. That was it. I got busy, and I started working. That lady I asked to guide me through this process called my sponsor, and I started working. Her God just gave me the strength to keep moving, and I couldn't stop, and I had to redouble my efforts. I had to do everything in my power to get this thing, because I did not want to die. So whatever was asked of me, I was willing. I became willing at that moment. I was just willing, and I still am. And I don't want to lose that gift that I got. So that's how it was and what happened. And what is it like today? Oh, my God. I don't know. I got to work, and I got busy. Stuff started happening. I started experiencing things that I hadn't experienced. Earlier today, I sat in a meeting of We Agnostics, and I heard a spiritual experience. And I don't know if anybody else got it, but I got it. That when this person gets up, they automatically have to drop to their knees. And even when they forget, it go back, they drop to their knees because their body knows what to do. So God has already conditioned that person. And it's just an out-of-body experience where you start feeling, every morning I got to drop to my knees. And I have to say the third step prayer. And I have to say the seven-step prayer every single morning. Get me out of where me. Do for me what I can't do for myself. Thy will, not mine. That's what I have to do every morning. I have to journal and get rid of the stuff in the past, and I haven't stopped. I have to make 4 to 5 meetings a week. And not because the meetings keep me sober, because I have to stay in this. I really have to read this. I really have to get involved. I really have to know what I'm doing here, what's going on with me, because I'd be lost without it. It's so easy for my thinking, my will, to want to creep in. And it happens on a regular basis, and I have to go to a page called 417 and heal. on a regular basis. Because every time I'm disturbed, not some of the time, not most of the time, they say all the time, it's me. So anytime I get in these funks and stuff, I have to go to this thing right here. And it's what saved my life, coupled with sponsorship, but first and foremost with God. You know, with God instilling in my sponsor, you know, the strength that she has. I am real grateful to the newcomers that come around. I am even more grateful to the old timers who stuck around. Because without you all, I wouldn't be here. The old timers are very important to me, and the newcomers are the most important to me. They help our fellowship grow. That's what they do. So when I see these smiling faces come in these rooms and I get to know your name, it's just awesome if I remember. You know, it's just awesome. And that's what makes me feel good. And when I see you keep coming around, it really gets awesome. And I'm like, hey. So, you know, I've been explaining what I ended up doing and what happened to me and how I am today is I live the steps. First, I learned the steps, then I worked the steps, and I lived the steps to the best of my ability. You know, I don't pick up the first one, and it keeps me letting me know that I'm powerless. You know, I know that if I pick up the first one, it's over for me. It's happened repeatedly and repeatedly over again. My story, I used again. But there's many stories around here where you can come in here, you can get this, and you just don't have to use again. But I always had to do things the hard way. It was never Tracy not saying, I don't know. But today, you know, like it says in We Agnostics, we can just jump up our hands and say, we don't know. I don't know all the time. I'm going to talk about this and then I'm going to wrap it up. I am going through some things right now, and it keeps me very emotional on a regular basis. I'm going crazy. And I don't be knowing if it's recovery or my hormonal changes. I don't know if people can identify to that, but that's what I'm going through lately. So for men who have us women who may be going through hormonal changes, bear with us, because believe me, it's not easy for us either. Oh my God, I got a witness, and I'm going crazy. I am losing my mind, but it's okay because I'm sober, and it's not an option for me to drink or use today because I know better as we solo this big book. Once again, I thank you old timers. I thank you newcomers. Please don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle happens, and if it happens, keep getting up and trying. Because I am going to read something that my daughter has wrote to me since I've been back in recovery. And it's two passages. Then I'm going to wrap it up for real. She said, everything, Mom. How did you find the energy, Mom, to do all the things you did? To be a teacher, nurse, counselor to me when I was a kid? How did you do it all, Mom? Be a chauffeur, a cook, and a friend? Yet find the time to be a playmate, I just can't comprehend. I see now it was love, Mom, that made you come whenever I call. Your inexhaustible love, Mom, and I thank you for it all. I learned from you. I learned about love from you, watching your caring ways. I learned about joy from you in fun-filled yesterdays. From you I learned forgiving of faults both big and small. I learned what I know about living from you as you gave your life for all. The example you set is still with me. I never want any other. I'm thankful for all you taught me, and I'm blessed to call you mother. And I didn't pay her to write that for me, but it was through this, through me living this program. Not talking it, not going and splitting and sounding good, because I'm going to tell y'all now, I was crying because I'm hoping I sound good. You know, I don't care how I look no more because I'm clean. I've seen all our other speakers come with, they were dressed very nice, and then you get me. I'm a t-shirt and jean girl. That's who I am. But before I close, I better tell, my grandson came in tonight and he said, I heard you speaking today. And I said, yeah, I am. He said, well, Nana, I know you're going to talk about me. So I better make sure I say that, you know, these two guys came when I first entered CA. They were in little carriages and I used to walk around with both of my little grandchildren. And they're here today. So it's really awesome. It's my first time speaking at a convention. I'm kind of upset you all know a little more about me, and I can't hide anymore. So with that, I pass, and thank you.